Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to The Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We're here with ESPN sports business reporter Darren Revelle. Darren, you've had some questions about whether or not it is worth it for media to come to the Super Bowl week anymore. Can you share kind of the positives and the negatives of the experience?
You know, for me, the negatives are, you know, that it's hard to get anything unique if something is just put out, if all the quotes are put out. You know, yes, there are stories that can come out. I think it's more needed for the local media for both of the teams. I think it's harder for the national media in mass to be here unless they have to be, you know, in an ESPN standpoint from TV, sitting on a set. So I think the value of actually being here for the entire week is diminishing in some sense.
Do you think that, like, I assume that you're like me and you have a bunch of things that you do publicly and then some that you do privately. Do you think that maybe it feels like a little bit less people are here this year, and there's also the fact that everybody's split between either being at the mall or downtown and they're like 20 minutes apart, and it's not the easiest to see people if they're on the other end of where you are?
I mean, I'm surprised at the amount of media here. I would think it would be less because people can still do great stories from home, you know, if they were to get sent the quotes. Now, I'm not saying that journalists don't do the work themselves, especially if they have a story. I feel some of what I'm speaking about is probably because the Patriots add a element here of being here forever and not wanting to say anything quote-unquote good. You know, maybe that's the reason for my negative sentiment here. And as far as the all over the place, yeah, there are cities that are going to be convenient, like Indianapolis, and then there are going to be cities that are not going to be convenient, like Houston, and maybe here. Do you want everything at the Mall of America? I mean, otherwise it seems like it's going to be like a biosphere, you know, like you never get out.
You're famous for manicuring your Twitter feed, scheduling tweets, like moving them around. From a Super Bowl game day perspective, you think it's better to do it at home as opposed to being in the press box. Can you explain your reasoning
with
that?
And again, I'm a little bit different. I mean, I don't think there's anything for me to get on game day. That's when it is the game. That, you know, maybe leading up there are some things where it is not about the game. I would also, before I get to my Super Bowl day, I would also say that the parties are not one-fifth of what they used to be.
Well, do you think that's a Minnesota thing?
No.
Total economy?
No, I think
or
it's
what?
Economy. I think from 2002 to 2006, there was some spending that wasn't exactly ROI, immediate ROI type spending. And these parties were just so completely over the top outrageous that anyone who covered them, like I did, me and Dan Wetzel seemed to be on the party beat at the time. The parties
McIntyre
now.
McIntyre was on it a little bit.
Yeah. You know, it seems like they don't hold a candle to today, which.
Your ESPN backed out. They decided to do hospitality at college football playoff instead.
Right. What I'm saying is, I don't think the ROI. It's possible the ROI was never there for anyone, especially at the level of spending. And ESPN wasn't even, you know, we're not even talking about the most, you know, outrageous. There were parties with massive food that everyone could get into. There was, you know, in 2002, there were fake tickets to the Maxim party. People were selling fake tickets. Many years between 2002 and 2006, it was it actually cost more to get into some of those parties than to get into the game. So I think it's changed. And yes, Minnesota adds a level to it. I think corporate America is actually here more than I thought. But yes, it's harder to think about partying when the wind chill and the feel on the biggest nights, Friday and Saturday, are going to be negative two.
I don't even understand how some of the media people go to parties. Like, I'm 31 now, not exactly like senior citizen age, but I can't fathom doing like the type of days that I've been doing where I'm just zigging and zagging all day, working, trying to get content, trying to meet people, and then going out and getting drunk. And I just can't fathom it.
I think if it's worth it to cover, you know, then it's something to do. You know, when I was younger, I did cover those, and it was just, again, it was so exciting. I just happened to hit the point where I think parties were at their best. But yeah, no, it's hard to party for a party when you're in the media, that's for sure. Do you want to talk about my day?
Yeah.
I started at 11 o'clock, and I have about 100 tweets kind of ready to go in some state. Altogether, I've probably worked about 60 to 100 hours on these. Some of them are very wacky and mundane and weird. All of them are attention grabbers. And then I just have to kind of negotiate. It's the only game of the year where the commercials count, so I kind of have to negotiate when the space is that I can get in. But I do feel that, just like any other game, that people are sitting with their laptops on their laps. And
you've got 100 tweets already ready. It's Thursday. The game's Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we talked, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, but last time we were on the podcast, we talked about when and whether LeBron is going to become a billionaire, and you thought yes. Now, who do you think becomes a Forbes list billionaire first, LeBron, Kobe, or A-Rod?
That's a good question. A-Rod is throwing around more money, so it's possible he could get there faster. I don't know what his total, but he's had three real estate investment funds that have done well, so he could do a big fund at any minute.
And he made like $300 million as a player.
$450 million, yeah. So you know, that's
now, granted, he hasn't been living an expense-free lifestyle.
Of course not. Or wifestyle. yeah, I mean, I'd give A-Rod a good shot now, just because LeBron's making some good decisions, but that money's going to take a while to come around. Although he is probably in the position of, you know, A-Rod would have to do it in 3 or 4 years, because LeBron is, you know, I mean,
he's coming.
$75 million alone with Nike, probably. But yeah, he's definitely coming.
And like the Blaze Pizza, if that ever gets acquired, that's going to be worth like 10 figures down.
Yeah. I think LeBron's done. I think they've done a nice job making some good bets.
And then Durant too.
Durant's making a ton of bets. I mean, this is the new athlete. They're willing to spend some money instead of saying, what do I get for my 1%, my equity? You know, and that's pretty cool. I think, you know, it's an affirmation that they're real about the company instead of just takers.
How did you feel about the NFL's Thursday night football deal with Fox?
I was surprised they got the numbers again.
Well, the numbers are kind of in dispute. Orand from the Sports Business Journal has it at 550, and then some people have it at 660.
Yeah, I'm at 660, yeah. I'm at 660. That's what I had multiple sources on that. I think at 550 or 660, it's a pretty sizable, you know, obviously we're talking at least a 20% increase. And I think some people are surprised at it due to the fact that, you know, you can dispute the injury stuff, but the quality of the games, you know, have suffered a little bit. But people need content, you know, these companies need content, and that's, you know, that the battle for content. Content is getting more expensive, because if you don't have it, you have nothing else to do. And Fox certainly needs the content, because talk doesn't carry the ratings.
What do you think in the next year is the most interesting sports business story that you're tracking? We'll get you out of here on this.
I think ticketing continues to be throughout my 17 years covering this, the most volatile and interesting, the relationship with the fan and how things change, and to electronic ticketing and to teams owning the percentage of their secondary, to teams running it. I mean, ticketing is something that every day touches the fan, and so I think that's definitely, you know, one of the major things going forward. And then I just think, you know, how we look at media and how media is absorbed, and how leagues deal with how games are showed. And I mean, just it's amazing to see the NBA ratings right now.
Oh yeah, because like they're just going to be up 25% year over year. It seems, which is insane because the finals for most of the year seems like a foregone conclusion. Although the Cavs are suffering
a little. It's insane, and I think what it shows, I think, is it's the speed of game. I think the game is at a great speed right now, and I think the NFL's speed, the NFL is declining in a way because we have a way of life where we're multitasking, where we're looking on our phones, where we're scrolling. And the NFL game, by its nature, is slow. It's 12 minutes of action in 4 hours. And so I don't think the NFL fits the lifestyle that we have. And I don't know how they address it, but it's got to be addressed in some way to at least seem faster, both in the stands and at home.
Thank you, Darren. Appreciate your time.
Familiar touch turns strange.